I'm Eric Whitney with Montana News. It's been just over a week since Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke was nominated to be Secretary of Interior by President-elect Donald Trump. Since then, at least half a dozen Republicans and one Democrat have expressed interest in replacing him. If Zinke is confirmed by the Senate, Montana will hold a special election next year to fill his House seat. To talk over what this means for Montana, we're now joined by Rob Saldin, a political science professor at the University of Montana and analyst for MTPR. Welcome, Rob.
Thanks, Eric. Good to be here.
Is it a given that Ryan Zinke is going to be confirmed by the Senate, as all cabinet appointments have to be?
I think so, unless there's something really scandalous in his background that hasn't come out in two runs for Congress. I don't see Democrats choosing to train their fire on him. Some of these nominees that Trump has put forward will be fought by Democrats, but I think there are people who are much more objectionable to Democrats than Ryan Zinke, who, you know, I think from the perspective of many conservationists who were worried about who might get that interior post, Zinke actually is far preferable to a lot of other names that were under consideration. So I expect him to have a pretty easy confirmation.
There have been a couple of news sources that have brought up a controversy that came up when he was running about him traveling to Montana while he was a Navy SEAL and submitting reimbursement requests for that, basically charging the Navy for travel to Montana for personal reasons and charging the Navy for that. Do you think there's much there that might derail him?
Right. Yeah, that has resurfaced. It came up a couple years ago in his first run for Congress. I don't think it rises to the level of something that's going to hold him back. The reports I've seen suggest that the amount of money in question is $211, I believe. I guess you could say if he's breaking the rules, that's a problem, whether it's $200 or $200,000. But, for $211, I don't think that's something that's going to tank his candidacy.
Right. And significantly, I think Senator John Tester, a Democrat who has a vote in the Senate, obviously, he's come out saying he supports Ryan Zinke. So I guess it would be really surprising if he was not confirmed.
Oh, I think so, Eric. Yeah, it would be a shock.
Maybe let's go over what the process is for coming up with candidates for the special election. How will the parties select who gets to be on the ballot for this special election?
Yeah, well, it's a different process than we're used to. And the process could be very important in terms of figuring out who's going to be running for these for this position. It's going to be determined by conventions that the parties hold. So this is not a primary election. This is a convention in which the party elites, the leaders of the party from across the state, will gather to determine who the nominee is. And so I think in practical terms, what this means is that maybe name recognition is not quite as important as it would be in a primary. People who have ingratiated themselves with the party leadership are going to be better positioned maybe than someone who just has some name recognition around the state. And so what goes on behind the scenes, this is something like kind of what people refer to with smoke-filled rooms. Candidates being chosen in the old days for president in these smoke-filled rooms. Well, it's going to be something like that playing out here in Montana to determine the nominees.
So we'll talk about who some of those potential candidates are in a minute, but there's also a process for independents to get on the ballot if people don't want to go through that party process and want to put themselves on the ballot. We asked Secretary of State Linda McCullough what the process is for that earlier this week.
They have to gather signatures, and those signatures are 5% of the total votes cast for the successful candidate for the same office in the last election. The last election was 2016, so it would be 14,268 verified signatures.
To me, getting more than 14,000 verified signatures sounds like a pretty high bar. Do you anticipate seeing any independent candidates on the ballot in the special election?
Well, Eric, I agree with you. It is a high bar. I would be a little bit surprised. I mean, you never know. But unlike a typical election where you have a lot of advance warning, I mean, somebody has to put together an operation pretty quickly. And so I think it's probably unlikely.
And we should say that when we talked to Secretary of State McCullough, she said that so far no one has contacted her office. No one has actually picked up petitions to start gathering signatures, which they could do now. So as far as we know, no one's out there beating the bushes trying to get on the ballot. To go back to the folks in the major parties who've expressed an interest in trying to get their party's nomination, the first person to raise their hand was Ed Buttrey, a Republican state senator from Great Falls. When we interviewed him on Monday, he referenced Ryan Zinke's decisive defeat of his Democratic opponent in the fall, Denise Juneau.
Why did Ryan beat Denise Juneau so bad? Well, I think it's because Ryan took the right, he took the middle, he took the independents, and I think he took a pretty good number of people on the left. I think for us to win this special election, we're going to have a very Ryan Zinke-like candidate.
Senator Buttrey says he's politically similar to Ryan Zinke. You think that's accurate, and do you think he has what it takes to win the Republican nomination for this special election?
Absolutely. He's similar to Ryan Zinke in the sense that he comes out of the moderate faction of the party. He's probably most well-known here recently for sponsoring the Medicaid expansion bill in the previous legislature. This was one of Governor Bullock's top priorities, one of his greatest successes. So Buttrey led that moderate, so-called responsible Republican faction that worked with Democrats in the legislature and the governor to pass Medicaid expansion.
To me, that sounds like a handicap because, as you said, the folks who are going to decide who the nominee is are these party insiders and those moderate Republicans in the legislature who teamed up with Democrats for that Medicaid bill and some other legislation. They're not necessarily popular with the party insiders who might select the party's nominee for the special election.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been a lot of frustration with this relatively small group of moderates in the legislature who have worked on Medicaid expansion as well as other things with the Democrats. And so, Buttrey is in a little bit of a tight spot there. Now he's going to make the case that putting forward someone who can appeal to a wide range of Montanans is going to position the party better to hold on to that congressional seat. And remember, 2 years ago, Ryan Zinke, he ran as the moderate in that primary. Now, he was up against several other people from the conservative bloc who kind of split that vote. He managed to get through that primary in a way that he might well not have if he had been facing just one single conservative who could have gotten the whole conservative vote.
Well, speaking of the likelihood of a moderate Republican winning the party's nomination, whoever's nominated, they have to win, obviously, in the special election. Is a special election similar or different to a general election or, in terms of turnout or what kind of campaign you have to run to win a special election?
It certainly will be different than a typical election. In fact, I think this is the thing that Democrats have to be pinning their hopes to. You look at this seat, everything favors the Republicans, but it might be the case that after this election we just had, that the Democratic base gets a little bit fired up, sees this as an opportunity to advance their agenda. Maybe Republican turnout is a little bit depressed without Trump at the top of the ticket. So I think we certainly can expect a lower voter turnout, right? It's likely that these two candidates aren't going to have a whole lot of prior name recognition. There are a couple people who could jump in and maybe upset that, but we probably aren't going to have well-known people running, and it's going to happen pretty quickly and on a schedule that that isn't like that of other elections.
Right. The state law says that Governor Bullock has to schedule the special election 85 to 100 days after the seat becomes vacant. So obviously we don't know when Zinke's confirmation hearing will be held, how long that might take. But once, assuming he's confirmed and he resigns the seat, then 85 to 100 days after that. So we don't know exactly when that election is going to happen. Speaking of candidates with name recognition, Denise Juneau obviously ran in the general election, lost by a little over 15 points to the incumbent Ryan Zinke. We haven't heard from her on whether or not she's interested. The last we heard from her was right before this appointment was announced. She said she was interested in applying to be president of the University of Montana. What do you think her chances might be if she chose to run?
On the one hand, her campaign did gain some traction with the liberal base of the Democratic Party in the state. There was a lot of enthusiasm for some of the things that her candidacy represented in terms of breaking through some barriers, being the first woman in a long time. She would have been the first Native American, the first gay member of Congress from Montana.
First openly gay.
Oh, openly gay member of Congress from Montana. So all these things were very exciting. Yet, you know, on the other hand, it was not close. She got beat by a very wide margin, I think a bigger margin than most people expected. And so that raises a question of, you know, do Democrats want to throw her out again after she just in a matter of weeks ago was not picked by the voters? And that might depend on who the other candidates are. There have been a lot fewer on the Democratic side than we've seen come out on the Republican side.
Right. So far, the only Democrat that I'm aware of who's indicated that she might be interested in running is Amanda Curtis, the school teacher from Butte, who's getting ready to start her second term in the Montana legislature in January. Here's what she told us on Wednesday.
I am perhaps the only Montanan right now who has lived through this challenge before, but the starting point is a little bit different this time.
Do you think Amanda Curtis would be a good candidate for the Democrats in this special election?
Well, she, of course, was also the replacement U.S. Senate candidate a couple years ago after John Walsh withdrew following the plagiarism scandal. So she has experience running a campaign and putting a campaign together in a very short amount of time.
That also, we should mention, you know, obviously didn't work out so well. Steve Daines
right.
won that election by quite a substantial margin.
Right. And so, yeah, you know, there again, there's a little bit of a concern on the Democratic side about putting forward someone who's so recently been defeated in a statewide election. I mean, I think Curtis, given everything she was up against 2 years ago, ran an admirable campaign. But you're right, it didn't come close. I mean, I think the question for Democrats is who is out there at this point who could come close, right? I mean, their whole slate of kind of rising stars got wiped out here just a few weeks ago. So there's not an obvious go-to person on the Democratic side except for Brian Schweitzer. He's the one person out there who could really mix things up. And I think if he did get in, he would turn this race instantaneously into a toss-up or even one that leans a little bit in the Democratic direction. But he's
obviously former Governor Brian Schweitzer. And as far as we know, he's said he's not interested in running.
He hasn't totally ruled it out, but he's saying things similar to what he's said in the past, you know, indicating a lack of interest in serving in Congress, frustration that not much gets done back in Washington, and voicing a desire to stay here in Montana. So he has been talking about running for governor again in 4 years. But from what he's said so far, it doesn't sound like he's going to throw his hat into the ring for this one.
Let's round up the other Republicans who've said they either will or might pursue their party's nomination to run for Zinke's seat. There's six of them that we know of. Besides State Senator Ed Buttrie, they include two other state legislators, Representative Daniel Zolnikov of Billings and State Senator Scott Sales of Great Falls. Also, Billings District Court Judge Russell Fagg has indicated he might be interested. Gary Carlson of Corvallis, who publishes a conservative online newsletter, and a Bozeman construction contractor, Eugene Graff IV. What do you make of these potential candidates?
Well, the one of that bunch that sticks out to me is Scott Sales. He's the president of the Senate. He definitely represents the conservative faction, right? If Buttrie, who we discussed earlier, represents the moderate faction, Sales is most certainly from the conservative bloc. And one thing that struck me just a few days ago in his interview with Montana Public Radio, he kind of described himself in contrast with Ryan Zinke, saying that he's more fiscally conservative than Ryan Zinke. And I think that's certainly true. But to define yourself against one of the state's leading Republicans struck me as a little bit of a surprise. So he certainly represents that kind of conservative wing. You know, one other person who's been talked about that you didn't mention is Senator Matt Rosendale, who just won election to be Montana's auditor, also represents a conservative faction out of Glendive, ran against Ryan Zinke in 2014. One big drawback here is that if Rosendale did jump into this and won, Bullock would be then in the position of selecting his replacement as auditor, also a position on the land board.
Another prominent name that we haven't mentioned yet is, of course, Greg Gianforte, who ran unsuccessfully for governor a week ago, we asked if he was interested, and his quote was, like many Montanans, I'm hoping for more snow, looking forward to Christmas with our family and getting in some hunting. He said we should get back in touch after the holidays. Do you expect Greg Gianforte to throw his hat in the ring?
If people want him to run, I suspect he probably would, right? He's definitely shown an interest in politics. And in some ways, he is the most obvious candidate. Most Montanans aren't going to recognize any of these other potential candidates, but he does have the name recognition.
He certainly spent a lot of money on television ads in the governor's race.
Right. So, I mean, he definitely has that going for him. I think there are a couple ways of looking at it. If you're a Republican, the glass half full take on Gianforte is that he does have this name recognition. He came close to knocking off an incumbent governor, which is very hard to do. So this is maybe a guy who deserves another shot. On the other hand, the glass half empty view for Republicans is that it's kind of like what we were talking about with Juneau. This guy just lost, and it's maybe even more striking in Gianforte's case because this year was an epic Republican landslide swept over the entire country, and it was Gianforte's defeat that cost Montana Republicans a clean sweep of the statewide races. So, you know, you can say, sure, maybe it's hard to beat a solid incumbent like Bullock. But on the other hand, if you can't win as a Republican in Montana in 2016, maybe there's a problem with the candidate. And so I think that's what Republicans will have to grapple with if Gianforte does decide to get in. You know, one thing to keep in mind here, though, Eric, is that Gianforte may have an ace up his sleeve in the form of Steve Daines. Daines, at this point, is the state's senior Republican figure in the party, the U.S. senator, of course. He's very close with Gianforte. They're both from Bozeman. They worked together for all those years. And if Daines decides to get behind Gianforte, that could be a big factor, especially given this process that we talked about at the beginning, right? This isn't a primary. It's going to be a small group of elite party leaders picking the nominee. So in that kind of a situation, Daines' endorsement and work behind the scenes could be very influential.
Rob Saldin is a professor of political science at the University of Montana. We should mention you wrote an article for The Washington Post about Ryan Zinke's appointment. We'll have a link to that on our website. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Eric.